mostly to reconnection in high temperature plasmas where collisions do not matter. And I'll try to explain some of the results that we have obtained and try to see what are, in my opinion, their mathematical and physical interest. Okay, let's start from the first point that topology plays a very important role in the global dynamics of high temperature plasmas. I mean, I don't have here to define MHD, but if you take ideal MHD and Ohm's law, which leads to this well-known equation for the induction equation for the magnetic field, we have a concept that is very often referred to, which is the freezing of the magnetic field lines in the plasma. And we do something very strange. We allow field lines to move, which is not a very well-defined thing, because field lines are defined at constant time for a vector field. And the idea is the following, that you have a connection theorem, which is the most important point, that says that if you have two, within this ideal description, if you have two plasma elements that are separated by the vector delta L, these are taken close at the moment, and these two plasma elements are initially connected by a magnetic field line, say D equals T equals zero, this holds, then within this description, they remain connected by a field line at any subsequent time. And this is a connection theorem, and that's a way that tells you how to identify the motion of the field line. And you express it in terms of a vanishing of the Lie derivative of this quantity delta L external B. And this is very important because it introduces a topological link in which I'm going to call magnetic connection between plasma elements. And this connection, so if two points are connected, they do remain connected. It is preserved by the ideal evolution of the plasma. And it's quite important from an energetic point of view because it forbids the plasma in certain condition to enter configuration with a lower magnetic energy. So you have all these topological constraints that restrict the evolution of the plasma. So why is magnetic reconnection important? Well, magnetic reconnection is important because it partially removes these constraints by allowing field lines to decouple locally, so around critical points of the plasma configuration, of the magnetic field configuration, and they decouple the magnetic field from the plasma motion, so the magnetic field line can cut and re-knit in a different set of connection. So this localized cutting of field lines depends on terms that I didn't write here that violate this idea, Ohm's law, and in general contain higher derivatives with respect to the fields and to the electric field and the magnetic field that I wrote there. So what is the reason why, I mean, where do these effects come? Well, in collisionless reconnection, which is what I'm interested in, so high-temperature plasmas, the decoupling does not arise because of resistivity, sorry, but because of electron inertia, if you can treat the plasma as a fluid, or due to thermal effects if you use a kinetic theory. But what is important, and I want to address here, is that if you don't have dissipation, both in the kinetic and the fluid limit, there are generalized linking conditions that survive and that are preserved during the process of magnetic field line reconnection, when in the two-dimensional configuration, they will take a much simpler form that we will discuss. Well, in this presentation, I want to focus on what is the role of this generalized linking condition in collisionless reconnection in 2D, and I'll try to work it out mostly in some results that we already published in the fluid limit. And if I have time, I'm not sure, I will go, I will examine the case where the electrons are treated with, in the drift kinetic the drift kinetic limit, which correspond to this last picture here. So let us start, for example, what do I mean by generalized linking condition? Let us consider the case where electron inertia counts. So I'm taking Ohm's law, I'm adding the whole term, and I'm adding the inertia term. Actually, the inertia term is not written very properly here. It's better written here simply in terms of the electron velocity. Well, there is something very easy that you can recognize, and that you can take care of both these terms and these terms, actually written in this form, by introducing a new vector field, which is a generalized magnetic field, if you wish, which is defined in this way, and is just related to the curl of the fluid canonical momentum on the electron, of the electron fluid. So you have this generalized magnetic field. This is a fluid velocity, fluid vorticity. Then you have a generalized electric field that you can define in a similar way when you just generalize the electrostatic potential, including energy. And what you find out that these two terms can be completely included in a new Ohm's law for this generalized electric field and for the generalized magnetic field. So the connection theorem, the vanishing of the Lie derivatives, remains true for these new fields. So all the theorems you know of, flux conservation, linking number, and all the rest, can be generalized to the case of electron inertia by including these two new fields. And by the way, these new mathematical fields satisfy the homogeneous Maxwell's equation. Well, I use it to prove this theorem. Well, let's go now to the breaking of the magnetic field lines. Well, there is a problem from the energetic point of view that is quite interesting that I would like to address. As I said before, when you the breaking of magnetic field lines allow the system to access configurations with lower magnetic energy. And if you have dissipation, you can quite easily understand that you can have a transition between two magnetic equilibria with different magnetic energies, because in this case the excess energy can be just dumped into heat. Well, the problem becomes a little bit less clear in the case where there are no dissipation, because in this way it's not clear how you stop the evolution of your plasma. Yes. There are canonical momenta. There is just a way in which you use canonical momenta, and they are constructed. It's very easy because they're constructed from the potentials. And then, from the potential, extract the fields. And this is the well-known result. You can do it for electron and ions. It's a technique. And that is the way where you can include electron inertia so easily. You just have to refer to the electron motion, and then all the... they don't have a physical meaning that much, because particles do follow B, don't feel follow BE. So, they are very convenient because they tell you that there is some conservation that can be related to the fluid canonical moment of the particles, but directly from the point of view of dynamics, they don't enter into the Lorentz force. So they are interesting conservation, but from the physical point of view, B is the field, not BE. BE is a mathematical thing that you are constructing, and it's very convenient. But in the Lorentz force, you have B. Okay, so the point is, how can you have a transition between two different magnetic equilibria with different energies in a system with no Hamilton, with no dissipation? In principle, what you could have that the system bounces back and goes on moving and so on. And this goes back to the well-known problems of reversibility of Landau damping. So I will not go that much into it, but you know that the properties of the distribution function are very similar to the ones I described. I mean, if two points in phase space are connected by contour lines of F, they always remain connected by a contour line of F. So there are problems that you can derive. I mean, there are similarities, very strong similarities that you can draw between the magnetic problem and the Vlasov problem. I'll come back to this point a little bit later. Well, things become much, much simpler if you go to two dimensions. Two dimensions is very important. Well, I mean, we all know it, mostly plasma physicists around. But if you have a very strong external impulse BZ, which is taken to be fixed and does not play any dynamical role, and you just have an inhomogeneous shear field in the XY plane, then you can write your magnetic field in the standard way with the flux function psi. You can write the electric field in this very convenient form, and you can look how the magnetic connections that I derived before with electron inertia and without electron inertia look like in 2D. Well, here everything is much, much simpler. Because in this case, what you find out is that in this limit, the Lagrangian invariant corresponds simply to the Z component of a Z, so to psi if there is no magnetic inertia. And in this case, plasma elements that lie initially on a psi equal constant surface do go on lying on the same surface during the evolution of the plasma. Let's include electron mass effects in the cold limit. And as I said, okay, that is very easy. You just have to generalize your vector potential in this way. And if you assume that the density fluctuations are small and you can connect immediately the electron velocity to the current density, then you can show that the quantity that is conserved is this quantity here. So the flux function plus the current density times dE squared, where dE squared is the electron skin depth. And this is just the Z component of the generalized vector potentials that I introduced before. So, for example, you can go on and show that this quantity is called usually capital F in the literature, is affected by the stream function F, which is phi, sorry, which corresponds to the electrostatic potential, which corresponds to the electrons, to the E cross B drift in the plasma, and you have this conservation equation where the square brackets take are the usual Poisson brackets, so the derivative with respect to x times the derivative with respect to y minus the derivative with respect to y times the derivative with respect to x. So we have a conservation equation of this type, and then we have a kinetic equation that dynamical equation that gives the evolution of the stream subfunction. Actually, it's an equation for the vorticity, and this equation for the vorticity is obtained in the standard way using the continuity equation of the electrons, and then using quasi-neutrality and the fluid ion response. Actually, this term here comes from the divergence of the polarization drift. Well, what is interesting is that we are going to try to approach a kinetic regime where temperature effects count. So let's first try to introduce warm effects, warm electrons, and this can be made by taking account the contribution of the so-called parallel compressibility of the electrons. It comes from a gyro viscosity term that can be written in the can be added to the electron momentum equation from which Ohm's law comes from and then I don't want to go through the steps. These have been published in a number of papers. You can show that your equation takes a very interesting form. You find out that your theory allows for two generalized connections that mix magnetic motion, magnetic dynamics and plasma motion. So this is the vorticity. This is the parallel component of the vector potential, generalized vector potential I mentioned before. And you have this combined effect where rho s is the so-called ion sound gyro radius. Even if it's called, even if the gyro radius is an effect of the electron temperature. And these two are convected by these two generalized string functions that again mix the electrostatic part with the magnetic part. And you have two equations that are quite interesting, and that gives you the evolution of these two Lagrangian invariants, G plus and G minus, that have been defined before. Note that there is a Fuhrmann analogy with the standard 1D Vlasov-Poisson system for Langmuir waves, because if you work it out, you find it out that you can consider G plus and G minus as two independent distribution functions, and they satisfy a kind of Poisson equations with the difference and a Yukawa type of equation with their sum. So it's curious, I mean, it's different from Vlasov, because in Vlasov the sources are the moment of the distribution functions. Here, in a sense, are the distribution functions themselves, but there are some quite important similarities. Well, this was prepared also from a mathematical audience, so I tried to put it in a formal way of differential geometry. Well, you can work it out that these two equations can be read as this kind of equality between differential forms. So if you work at G plus G, on the G plus or G minus equal constant manifold, you find the usual Hamiltonian form that gives you the characteristic of the fluid motion. And then you can also show that in principle you could use G plus and its conjugate variables as two variables in phase space that make some kind of mesh that is carried around, and it's area preserving. We never use this kind of formulation in the numerical simulations. We use X and Y, but I was curious to understand if the formulation based on this point could be interesting. The point is I cannot express this conjugate variable directly in terms of the field, so I don't know exactly what's the meaning. Well, this was from the point of view of geometry. From the point of view of energy, well, this system admits a Hamiltonian function, an energy functional, that contains magnetic energy, kinetic energy, ordered energy of the electron motion, and then this corresponds to internal reversible energy of the electrons. And you notice that these two terms correspond to microscopic fields. This that correspond is the square of the vorticity, and this which is the square of the current density contains higher derivative, spatial higher derivatives. And this will be very important in the evolution of the system. So we have a very interesting set of equations with strong geometrical properties and with a clear energy balance. Well, what is the problem we want to address? I think I have no time to go into the kinetic formulation. Well, what we want to study is the problem of nonlinear reconnection, and we are interested in particularly in the case of reconnection instability, where the energy is pumped from the initial condition, there is an equilibrium with an inhomogeneous current distribution. And as I mentioned before, the decoupling between the plasma motion and the magnetic field occurs around critical points of the two-dimensional configurations. So in the case we are considering, around the points where the gradient of psi vanish. In plasmas, in particular in the laboratory, you are not interested that much in configurations that would be more important for astrophysics, where this vanishing is a single point. But you go into the degenerate case, because that corresponds more or less to the equilibria we have, where this critical point degenerates into a line. And then we have the usual line configurations that we consider. In this case, has been studied for 30 years in the literature, in particular for the linear case, and also recently for how much time I have? Okay, thanks. Yes, I think I'll finish with the first part. And so from the point of view of linear theory, this has been studied enormously. It has been also studied quite a lot non-linearly in the resistive regime. What we have been looking into is the evolution of the non-linear phase of this instability in the case where collisions are absent. And there are a number of questions, as I mentioned. One is from the experimental point of view, and for the practical point of view, is what is the time scale, whether this slowdown, where you can have fast reconnection, where the super exponential phase, and so on. And also from a more theoretical point of view, where you can have really this transition between two different magnetic states, equilibria, two different magnetic equilibria, with different magnetic energy, but in a system that is in principle reversible. Okay, these are technical points that everyone working in magnetic fusion will understand immediately. The early nonlinear phase of this reconnection instability without collisions and just due to electron inertia in the cold electron limit was studied by Ottaviani and Torcelli 10 years ago. And what they showed is that you tend to form a very narrow current layer near the original null line. Then you have a super exponential phase, which is measured by the time derivative, by the time behavior of the flux at the magnetic X point. Well, we did the same analysis, but increasing the length of the time evolution and also including the effect of the temperature. So, this I'm going to present some numerical results we have been working on. Here they are the characteristic, it's something about the code, I don't have time to talk about it. But there is a very important point, is that the Lagrangian invariants differ from the flux function psi by small terms, in principle, that can only, because these coefficients are small, are microscopic, but can only become large when the scales, spatial scales become small. So you can have strong current layers and strong vorticity layers. In this case, what you can show is that you can decouple effectively the magnetic flux from the conserved quantities. So the conserved quantities go on staying conserved, But nevertheless, you can have magnetic reconnection. A magnetic reconnection goes on unimpeded. So you would say, okay, then these generalized connections do not matter, but what is important is that the nonlinear evolution, the final states, and the energy redistribution will depend on the value they have. So here we'll show as fast as possible the behavior of a simulation, the two-dimensional simulations. I'm plotting here one of the two invariants, G plus. The other one is just Q symmetric at different times. And on the right side, I'm trying to plot, it's not very clear in this picture, the flux function, and you should recognize here, I don't think it's very obvious, the structure of an island with X point at this position. As you see, you have reconnection of psi, no problem, and you just have a mixing in space of the invariant. And this is very, very much reminiscent of what happens, for example, in the case of the Landau damping, where the integrated quantities do reconnect, but the distribution function gets mixed around. If you look at the corresponding distribution of the current density and of the vorticity, you see that there are very strong formations of filaments, but they are extremely regular, and you have this decay to a smaller and smaller scale. And this decay to a smaller and smaller scale is the most important feature here, because it's the one that allows you to make a transition from one equilibrium to a lower to another equilibrium with a smaller magnetic energy. It's not really a transition from an equilibrium to an equilibrium. It's a transition from an equilibrium to a microscopic equilibrium. Microscopically, you still have motion, but you are shifting all the energy and all the properties of these Lagrangian invariants towards smaller and smaller scales, so they do not affect anymore the large scale. And think that this mode is accelerating exponentially, so you're removing energy to a smaller and smaller scale at a faster and faster rate. Well, this is different. I have to stop, I think, rather rapidly. This is very different if you go to the cold case, because if you take cold electrons, what you find out is that you still have phase mixing of all your quantities, but the invariants are different. The dynamics of the advection is slightly different. It's different. And you have a secondary Kelvin-Helmert type of instability that completely mixes all your Lagrangian invariants. The island is still regular. There is a different distribution between the magnetic energy and the kinetic energy and the other forms. Here in particular, the island goes on pulsating apparently at long times. But in both cases, the Lagrangian invariants are mixed up. In the cold limit, they are mixed up with this kind of Kelvin-Helmholtz mechanism, so a turbulent mechanism. In the hot case, in the warm case, it's a very regular mix. So this was the first part of the talk, to just show that you can reach a microscopic state, that this microscopic state is reached by mix. Yes, sure. You should ask Califano. It's better that I don't answer. Okay. At any rate, from the point of view of accuracy, we check energy, and we check the conservation of the first six invariants. So you have quite a check on the accuracy of the simulation. We take the Casimir and we check it. So, and the simulation is interrupted as soon as energy conservation or the conservation of the Casimir definition of good. That is what I know. And for example, you have this formation of what is in the final state. So my point was that even in collisionless reconnection, you can have a transition from a higher state to a lower state by just shifting energy to smaller and smaller scale. First point. Last point that I don't have time to present is that the same kind of approach can also be used for the drift kinetic approach, because you can show that if you write a drift kinetic equation for the electrons and you solve it as a function of x, y, and the canonical momentum, you recover exactly the same kind of equations, but for an infinite number of Lagrange invariants. For each of these foliations, you can show that there is the same process of mixing. So the final point that it's in my notes, but I don't have time to present here, is that this mixing, this process of mixing, is completely general. Sorry for being so late. Still cannot answer. Still really, we don't, I can show you possibly the growth rate, but we don't see, when the secondary instability goes, what I see is that a different distribution of the energy. But from the point of view of the behavior of the magnetic energy, we don't see anything special. It keeps going more or less with the same kind of super exponential rate we had before until it saturates. So it's not that much, in my opinion, it's not that much the rate of change of reconnection that is important, but is the redistribution of magnetic energy between, there is a lot of magnetic energy that goes into plasma motion. It's some kind of a transition to an Euler state, because there are all these vortices that still survive inside the island.